And a one, and a two, and a how do you do?
Girl, you got that sexy piece. You're just so sexy. Oh, you're like
it's been a while.
Monster.
It's been a while. Oh, I don't remember lyrics, too.
Cryptid, I never remember lyrics.
Never got right.
She's Tony and Jago. Oops, there's that Wendigo. Hey, come on after me. Who does that fuck said you could laugh at me? Smack with me. With a big foot dick, you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a big foot dick and Loch Ness Monster pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
Welcome to Sexy Beast for Rain. Fucking hell.
Oh, it's been a while, a bit rusty.
Well, I don't know what am I going to say. Welcome to Sexy Beasts.
You got welcome wrong.
I did.
Anyway, welcome to Sexy Beasts. Your show into the foray.
You don't remember that either.
No.
Your foray into the menagerie, the unexplained. The fucking goat is back.
He never left.
Oh my God, it's emaciated. It's been here the whole time.
It's covered in its own shit.
When we came in here and knocked all the cobwebs up, there was also a goat.
Yeah.
Still here, half dead. Each podcast devoted normally to a specific creature, cryptid, and monster. Normally what we do is we look at a history of a beast like a Bigfoot, like a Loch Ness Monster, like a Tokolosh, like a Tikbalang. All your little bits through... What are you going
to
say?
I'm just saying the fact that you're alluding to normally means this might be a bit of a shake-up in the... Ooh.
I'm shaking it up.
What are you shaking up?
My dick. Yeah, normally we do look at that and we use our patented FECS analysis by rating and reviewing creatures and we add it in a big Premier Crypt. You know, Ben Clifford, the Crypt Keeper, was keeping our Premier Crypt alive and well. But this is a little bit different. This is a tournament. This is creatures you already know. These are not creatures you go a little bumping and now you have to look for a big fucking dinosaur in the woods. These are here. We've seen them on the silver screen.
Ooh.
We actually haven't thought of a name for this competition.
Do you want to come up with it right now?
Okay. 3, 2. No, you just say something.
Silver screen. Scream.
Queens.
Stunners. Oh, silver screen. Scream queens. No, what you said was good.
Whatever the thing you said was, I'll figure out. I'll type out what it is. And that's what it's called.
Silver
screen. Screen screens.
Oh, silver screen. Scream Queens
Silver
Extremes.
Extremes. Okay, there you go. Silver Screen.
Sponsored by Red Bull.
Sponsored by Red Bull, hopefully, again. Anyway, listen. Jago, before we get into this, because what we're going to be doing is we have some... we don't really have a horse in this race, but we've both done a bit of research on these movie monsters. And we're competing them all against each other. 32 monsters to see who is the number one Silver Scream Queen...
Extreme Queens. 32 monsters for each county.
32 for each?
Yeah.
That's so many.
No, 32 for...
Well, you've already said it now. We have to double up on the amount we're doing here. But before we get into that, I thought we'd catch up. And coincidentally, Jago, look what I'm wearing today.
Oh, here we go. Tony has stood up and he's wearing my boxers. When did I give you them? When did you give me them boxers?
Do you remember you gave me these?
No.
You gave me these the morning that we woke up to do our Electric Picnic live podcast. And I went a little bit naughty the night before. And I lost my voice. You lost your soul.
Oh, God.
Your
was
spirit
actually,
ran was, away from you.
Yeah. I was on stage. And at one stage, I turned to Tony. And I was mounting to him. I need to get off the stage.
I know, yeah.
And after I got off the stage, I laid on the ground and waterboarded myself by accident. I was trying to drink as much water as I could. And I just couldn't. That was horrible.
It was. And that's how fucked we were. Like, literally rocking up. The only reason we were there, we had a hotel and everything. Mm. We were there. We just went fucking too... Well, I went too big. I kept saying, I might have a child next year. I was right.
That's right.
That was right. And I was like, I need to fucking live for now. And you were like, oh, maybe rain it in a little bit. And then the next morning,
I was the phantom shitter.
Well, I didn't have a voice and I didn't have any underwear. So you helped me out at least in one of those departments.
Do you want to hear a sort of embarrassing story underwear thing? So when my mom was on holiday, she came back and she bought me a pair of silk boxers. That's it. That's the end of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was in the park and I had my name embroidered in like a gold thread on the waistband.
What are you, fucking Ming Dynasty?
I know. I was just Ming the Merciless, but I was in the park and I was like, oh, my ma came back from Lanzarote. I don't know where it was, but she got me these class boxes. And I was showing the lads and it was actually, she actually got a pair for my dad and I put my dad's boxers on and they had said Eddie on them. And everyone's like, oh, you're rubbing dicks with your dad.
Oh.
And I was just like, No, please.
Oh, it's mad. It's mad the things people can just literally hone in on. You know, you should be actually fucking lucky. Maybe my dick could get bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe a big browner.
My dad's big brown dick. Of course I'm wearing a woman. My dad's big brown dick.
Do you know what a dad dick? No. Well, you have a dad dick.
I have a dad dick now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I look at his dick and I laugh at it. I laugh at my son's dick.
Yeah.
It's tiny, especially when you take him over the bath and he's got a little tiny. And I'm not even messing, Jago. I would say his dick is 1,000th the size of mine.
1,000th?
Yeah.
That's insane. That's a fucking, dot.
Well, or daddy over
or,
here.
Or
or daddy's packing for two. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, we're back on track.
Back on track. How you been?
Good, good. In a huge process of being an adult, buying a house.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, man. Do you know the way you say that? Buying a house is the most stressful thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah. It is. It's just so, a lot of back and forth. And, but we're hopefully coming to the end of it soon, and I'm going to have a little gaff.
Lovely.
And then we can all have a little party, play some D&D, play some video games.
Very excited. Hopefully I can actually sit closer to you. We're a bit, we're socially distanced right now.
So, exactly. Since the last time we were on air, a little thing called COVID-19 happened, which I hope everyone out there is doing okay and abiding by the rules.
Jago, someone got in touch recently and they said, what?
On the Genie episode, we actually forecasted the end of the world in 2020.
I think
that's Chelsea from Pennsylvania.
Chelsea from Pennsylvania. Thank you very much. Is that who sent it in?
I'm guessing, yeah.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've made it, man.
Oh, Irish, but travel to Pennsylvania. So sorry, boo. That. Yeah, boo.
We predicted it. Well, I'm going to say I presented the idea. I think we elaborated further. Mm. I'm just going to say, but because Disney didn't have any Marvel films.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
was what made me think that there might have been. They knew something ahead of time. You know, although they were planning on putting Mulan out, and if they did know something and they were putting it out in China, they probably would have fucking,
Yeah. Did you see Mulan?
Probably would have got wind. No, did you?
I did.
Did you pay €30 for it?
I did.
You're winking very aggressively.
No, just my eyes.
Just crying. Is it good?
Just crying because, no, it's just so bad. It's not bad. It's just...
I heard there's no Mushu.
Yeah, there's no Mushu. There is...
Shouldn't have done the voice. I'm sorry about that.
It just seems to be a bit lackluster. I do think it's generally one of the better the live action remakes they've done.
Yeah.
Aladdin are just snore.
Sorry, the better genie. Do you mean were you snoring through the better genie?
Is that a hill you'll die on? The fact that Will Smith's a better genie than
I might stand
the late
on it
Robin
for
Williams?
A while.
Stand on it for a while. Yeah, get a few injuries and I'll walk home. Yeah.
Get a few shin kicks and then run away.
But it is good. It's not as good as the live action Jungle Book, but it is.
Is Jungle Book your peak?
I think live action remakes Jungle Book is my peak.
Probably is the best. I love Christopher Walken as the Gigantopithecus.
Yeah, he's so good.
Thought that was badass.
Yeah.
Wasn't mad on Lion King, but was really interested in what they did to develop the technology because they put all that into the Mandalorian and it looks fucking unreal.
Oh yeah, Mandalorian. What was your favorite series of last year that's come out?
Ooh. The Mandalorian, just every episode, I was like, this is just fucking handset. That and The Boys, and I'm loving the fact that The Boys season two.
Boys season one and Boys season two, classic.
They're just so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard Watchmen was coming out last year as well, which also was fucking unbelievable.
Unreal, yeah.
But I remember when it was coming out, I was like, look, I love Watchmen, I love it all, but The Boys just shit on anything that is trying to do superhero anything.
It's exactly. So a lot of series tried to get mad serious and mad sort of deep and dark and stuff like that. But the fact, The Boys is just fun the whole long through. Even from the moment when, I'm not going to spoil it, but when Huey is with his girlfriend and the big thing happens, what the fuck?
It's fucked up. Yeah. Everything is fucked up and everything's really funny. And even the heartfelt moment, I tell you, whoever Homelander, where did he come from?
He is
incredible.
Incredible, yeah.
He belongs in this list. He is probably the scariest antagonist.
He's from New Zealand.
Yeah, but he's been in a couple of New Zealand kind of things.
Yeah, he was in some movie.
He's
I can't remember what it was.
Brilliant. He's Pacino level face. Mm. Brilliant in terms of Pacino's face.
Whenever I watch a series, the first thing I do is look up blooper reels, and it's always him just messing it up. Oh, just like it? He seems like a really fun guy as well.
Yeah,
which I'm into because I like
seeing smiley faces on his tweets.
Oh,
yeah, I didn't realize he was that kind of guy.
Do you know what's a good one that's out? Sorry, we're literally just going off track.
Let's do it.
It's a good series that's been out. It's actually not getting a lot of love. Is Lovecraft Country?
Oh yeah,
it's one of my favorite books I read, and it's basically about like how like the black experience for a black person during like the civil rights era was is even more horrifying than supernatural stuff. And each episode just increases, like it's done in sort of like a sort of short story. Each episode is like a short story,
we call it an anthology series.
But it's based on, it's like it has an overarching story that goes all the way through it. But the last episode, I don't know when this is going out, but the last episode just came out. I'm fucking best episode of TV I've ever seen.
Really?
I genuinely put that down there. It's a masterpiece.
I've heard it highly reviewed. And there you have it all. I'll definitely watch it. Definitely give it a go. But look, we're talking TV. Shall we talk movie?
Yeah. No, Tony.
So look, I think the best way to do this is how we're going to do it. This is a tournament. This is a tournament that will feature 32 combatants and 32 scraps, if I'm right. So each episode will, for the month of October, where we're in, this is coming out, I believe, today is the 5th of October, when you're listening to this. Stop winking at the mic. You're spreading your fucking germs.
They can hear my eyelash. Can you hear that? Anyway, I was winking.
So yeah, it'll be 32 scraps. So we'll have the next two episodes is basically going to be round one. This is to get through to the next round. Then the next one will be round two. And then the last one will have the quarters, semis, and then finals in one episode. One bumper episode.
So this should be the four episodes for October.
Yeah. What did I say?
Three.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Scrap. We'll do the fighting thing. I'll do it once. Coming up at number one, we've got the Martians from Mars Attacks versus the Graboids from Tremors.
Ooh, this is good. Classic sort of B-movie villains. They're very, very apt for each other. I have chosen the Martians.
Sure.
And you have?
I have the Graboids.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, I'll tell you a bit about the Graboids. So the Graboids come from the film Tremors, 1990. The creators of this are Brent Maddock and S.S. Wilson. They're the writers of Tremors. So the Graboids are very similar to what we would have seen in Sexy Beast, the Mongolian Deathworm.
Yeah.
This is kind of along the lines of, you know, we see in video games all the time, these kind of subterranean, invertebrate kind of worms. So the Graboids basically emerge from the earth. They got long serpent fucking bodies. When they're fully grown, they can be 30 feet long. They can weigh 10 to 20 tons. They don't have eyes, but they sense everything through seismic activity, exactly like the Mongolian death worms. They got why they're called the Graboids, and this is what I love about the Graboids is the fact that they're named in the film in a really kind of trashy throwaway.
Yeah.
I think they're like, there's other fucking stupid names, you know, that are thrown away, and then someone's like Graboids because it's such a dumb
name.
Dumb name, but they've got the
It grabs you.
Graboids! Your man who is not Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, wait. What is it? Is it someone...
You're growing up and you confuse Asian actors.
Oh, right.
And I used to think, oh, my God, it's fucking Mr. Miyagi. But it's not anywhere. I think he's actually fucking Mexican. I don't even think he's fucking, you know. Anyway, he's like, Graboids. We should call them Graboids. They have a long trio of serpent-like tentacles that they're so strong. There's even a bit where like it snaps a shovel fucking in half. Just the actual grip of this. This thing can fucking pull a truck. And you know, I fucking love Tremors. Tremors is probably in my top five films of all time.
There was like numerous sequels to the original Tremors. Like Kevin Bacon was in the first one. I think, I can't remember the other actor who was in it with him.
Fred Ward came back for... Oh my God, is Fred Ward related to fucking Ward? Because he looks like him.
Is he? Yeah, he does. Big square head.
Yeah, big square head. Who's dead? Fred Willard.
So no. Is Fred Ward related to Fred Willard?
They have a similar head.
No, they do. When you said that, I was like a little light bulb went off, and then immediately went dark.
I got excited about that. I love Tremors. Yeah, there was a couple of films. There was one where it was even back in fucking cowboy days,
Wild West.
And one of the characters in it was like who him and Reba McEntire, they were like fucking gun. Mm. That's one of the best bits where the thing bursts through the thing and they're trying to warn them over their like their bunker and it goes underground, fucking smashes into the thing and they just unload every fuck. It's pantomime the amount of bullets they're that are going.
They're survivalists, so they have like elephant guns and big fucking like. They did run out of ideas with the graboids though because like
I didn't touch it again. Really? It's just so perfect. It's such so perfect.
After the graboids, they evolved to little squat things with two legs that ran around the ground.
Not into that.
And then I think in the third one they evolved to having wings and they flew around. And it was just like
Tremors is Jaws on land and there's nothing like they're barely in it. It's fucking perfect. It's just like, you know, just like a lot like how to do a fucking horror where it's just someone running with a fucking camera that's an inch off the ground, and that's how they do it. I love Tremors, one of my favorite flicks. I would say the Graboids, for me, will be more iconic than the Martians and Mars Attacks.
Well, so for people who are uneducated on the Martians and Mars Attacks, Mars Attacks is a Tim Burton movie from 1996. It was actually based on a trading card game, which I only found out the other day.
Oh, yeah.
They're a bunch of highly intelligent, technologically advanced aliens that come to Earth. And the first message is translated as "We come in peace," but it's obviously a lie. And it's they kill everything they see. They have laser beams and stuff like that.
Turn everyone to fucking skeletons.
It's skeletons, yeah.
And it looks great. They're like bleached pink and or bleached red and green skeletons.
Yeah, it's like throbbing heads as well on them.
That's great.
Amazing cast in the movie. Jack Nicholson plays two characters in it. There's Pierce Brosnan, Sarah Jessica Parker, Ving Rhames is in it.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. Like, there is a lot of...
No, I don't think it's Ving Rhames. That's not Ving Rhames.
Oh.
That's your man. What's his name? Oh, no, is Ving Rhames in it as well? It's your man who's the fucking linebacker.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of another thing that Ving Rhames is actually in. I'm thinking of zombie movies, Zone of the Dead.
You're thinking of Jim Brown,
yeah. He's great. And like,
yeah, he's unreal.
I always get like weird sort of like tingles on the back of my neck when sort of like mad heroic moments happen and when like he's like punching the head off all the aliens.
Yeah.
But anyway, these aliens they come to Earth and they're like before this, all aliens movies had reasons for being attacked. Mm-hmm. This one just seems to be pure anarchy just for fun. There is like, if you look online, there's like these mad sort of deep dive theories about why these aliens attacked. And one of it is that like the aliens had sex with a turd alien race and created us and they were just like were sacrilege to them or some
going
shit.
Fucking so Prometheus vibe.
Yeah, it's just really weird. But these I'm not gonna lie, they're very weak. So if they can get shot and killed in one shot
listen to Glenn Campbell.
Yeah, they're yodeling by Glenn Campbell. Like, maybe explodes their heads. But I think these are more they're like think about the fucking sexy alien lady in it.
I was just looking her up here.
Yeah, the aliens disguise one of their ladies, disguise one of them as a lady to get close to the president, and they can't breathe oxygen, so they chew nitrogen chewing gum, which is very clever. Like,
really clever, yeah.
This is Tim Burton's like earlier movies, and he's not as dark or sort of gothic and stuff like that. But you cannot like hear the sound of the aliens speaking. Not be reminded of like. If you haven't seen it, this is on Netflix now, so you can check it out. I don't know.
It's fucking incredible. And also, what's great about this is the clash of the horror comedies. You know, I was literally going to say, is there any better horror comedy than Tremors? But you know, Mars Attacks
is very good. Like, there is some horrible parts where like the Jack Nicholson is like, can't we all just get along?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to spoil it, but he dies.
Martin Shorten is Martin so good. Short. It's a smarmy voice.
And he gets his fucking fingers bitten off by the sexy lady.
Yeah.
And there's a love story that's intertwined through the whole story of Pierce Brosnan and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Where they both got their heads cut off and reattached to a chihuahua's bodies.
Yeah.
it's just so ridiculous that... I remember watching this as a kid. So it came out in 1996. So I think I've seen like maybe two or three years later on... fucking DVD or not DVD, sorry, VHS. Jeez, I'm really showing my age here now.
You are. We never called it VHS, can we just say?
What do we call it?
We said video. We always said video recorder.
Videotape,
it seems like there's a bit of a Berenstain Bears situation been going on here where we're retconning. There's a Mandela effect where everyone keeps saying VCR. We never said VCR. We always said, I snapped at my sister and I felt really bad about it. We never said VCR, but we always said video
recorder.
There used
to be a lad who used to drive up to our estate and open his boot and in his boot was hundreds.
Oh my God, of dead what?
Of dead pigeons, and then on those pigeons there was loads of tapes. There's loads of tapes, and he used to sell them to us like for fucking like what, £3?
Wow.
Whatever it was. It was so dodgy and the quality was horrible, but I just remember watching this movie.
What was it, like Faces of Death and
No, yeah, no. Faces of Death. Go bum
see
fights.
The, go see the movie.
but I remember watching this and just, I don't know if like it was 1996, what age would it have been? 1998, I don't know. But I think I would have been a bit too young because I was freaking out about...
Nine, maybe?
Yeah, nine about that. And I remember watching the sexy alien just being like, she's so... The way that she moves.
The way she moves. Also the fact that she's fucking busting out. You know, her boobs are busting out. They're
busting
proper,
out, yeah.
Proper busting out. And she's got the big hair, which is actually hiding her brain because then when they pull it off, yeah. It's the same shape. You know, this is a tough one, Jago. Mm.
I think this comes down to, like, Tremors is, like, obviously a great B-movie, and it's really... But I think it is very niche. I think Mars Attacks will be more popular and even more iconic. Even if you show someone a picture of the Mars Attack aliens, they'll be like, oh, yeah, even if they don't know the movie.
I think Tremors achieves something. I think there's a lot of aliens.
Mm.
We have in this competition as well Independence Day aliens. We've also got the Xenomorph.
Yeah.
I would say... There could be a contest for Independence Day Alien versus Mars Attacks Alien, but when it comes down to horror movie monster, the Tremors is so original, and it's one of a kind, and it achieves so well in what it sets out to do. And also the fact that you never really see it, it's done really well in this kind of like Jaws ability, it bursts out. It doesn't look incredibly dumb. It looks a bit dumb.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't look incredibly dumb.
I think back, like the technology was available back then, so it looks a bit dumb. But
and the textures on the aliens now in Mars Attacks. Look, I love it. I love the design of it all. But I still got to go. Mm. I think Tremors, I think you got to... It's not about deferring.
Do you know, it's not deferring, but I'm going to defer because I do... Tremors is a great film. I actually like...
Very exciting times. Okay, Tremors is through to round two. The Graboids.
Victory music there.
I will put in later.
Oh shit, yeah. Final Fantasy.
Okay, next up. This is an interesting one. Zombies.
Oof.
Night of the Living Dead versus Bram Stoker's Bumhead Dracula.
Fucking hell. Like, I didn't know you were. It was against Dracula. This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, very tough. Would you like to zombies?
I would like the zombies if I can find it. I do know. Oh, look at it. I'm just showing Tony my notes on it.
Jeez, that's wild.
Yeah. So... Zombies is obviously like I don't really have to explain a lot what zombies are to be fair. Like a lot of people, but they're just such a cultural like touchstone, like such a everyone knows what a zombie is. They all have their own interpretation of what a zombie is, and people argue about different types of zombies and stuff like that.
We never actually covered them, did we?
Yeah, that's weird. I was actually thinking about it. Did we?
I think we talked a bit about the undead. I think we've talked about, I mean, the Tikbalang, or not the Tikbalang, fucking the Mananganal,
yeah.
In some capacity could be considered an undead. Vampires would be considered undead. I think we gingerly touched upon undead, but not going fully into vampires. Zombies.
Like, it was a huge fucking miss, but anyway. Zombies, it comes from either Haitian zombie or Creole zombie, which... It's actually from a Congolese word, zombie, which just basically means a ghost or a revenant. So these, like, it goes back ancient, like, so as we're talking about movies and stuff, what we'll talk about is, like, silver screen things.
Sure.
The first zombie movie really was this thing called White Zombie, where they were displayed as sort of henchmen for a Haitian priest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
pre-George Romero?
Yeah, just before George Romero. Like, before they were dead, but they were, like, henchmen. They just did whatever the Haitian priest or the voodoo priest told them whatever to do. And there was a lot of sort of, like, racial undertones about it. Ooh. As well. Like, this, like, sort of, like, the degradation of the Western civilization. Like, oh, here are all these lads in the field who were being controlled by the black people who were getting stronger from them and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
That's the thing about zombies. Zombies will always, whatever generation they're always like brought up in movies, they always represent the greatest fear of what people think of them. So like you talked about Night of the Living Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like another racial one as well. The fact that like a lot of, they don't listen to the guy in the movie who's black because like he so he has all the sort of right ideas. Like he's like, maybe if we stick together we'll survive the night, and no one acknowledges him and stuff like that. And then when he puts his head out the window, he's instantly shot and stuff like that.
Wow.
And then we go on to like Dawn of the Dead, and it becomes like about capitalism and like so when they go in the mall, do you remember when they went to the mall?
Yeah,
so it's all about capitalism and like how and the it was like it was mixed in with sort of the AIDS crisis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then communism was a huge one as well. So and zombies are just like, I think it's at the end of the day, there's a lot of fears. So at the moment, the thing with like the Walking Dead is actually fear of other people.
Mm-hmm.
We're just being like, if the world ends tomorrow, I don't think I could trust anyone. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Even especially now with the coronavirus, you see fucking fights kicking off in Little, DJ Spiral getting kicked out of Little for not wearing a mask.
Jesus.
And stuff like that. And like, so you're not calling him a zombie, but like...
That's really interesting, though. I never really looked at the kind of Romero films or any of the films really as kind of, you know, sort of a looking glass on the current times, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's civil rights or communism.
There's like 1980s to 1990s, there's like contagions with like foot and mouth disease and stuff like that, where, and then like 28 Days Later sort of came into it as well. There is a lot of like fear, and at the end of the day, it's like what people fear is losing your identity and like just becoming one of the masses, that like people love their identity so much that like it would be terrifying. But zombies are just a good thing. What I love about George A. Romero is he brought in the idea of like hordes of them, because before that there were just like two or three sparse ones that would do it. And then Return of the Living Dead, which is one of my favorite like sort of comedy horror zombie movies. Also there's this really hot punk in it, punk girl. And they brought in the brain aspect, like before that.
Oh, really?
Zombies just ate the whole body, but this, they were like, brains. And there's a part where they actually grab this really dumb guy and like tap his head, and they're like, brains.
Oh, really? Yeah, that wasn't just a Simpsons gag?
Oh, shit, that was a Simpsons gag. Was it?
They tap Homer's head and go, brains. And then
yeah, shit, that was a fucking Simpsons gag. Oh, wait. Maybe they did steal it. I don't know, but I do remember there's like a, it's like, it's one of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen any of the Dawn of the Dead or Night of the Living Dead or Return of the Dead, I think nowadays zombies do get a bit, not a bad rap, but they do just get a bit of a zombies really sort of vibe about them. But I do remember in just after Twilight, there was like a sort of a renaissance of like trying to make zombies sexy.
Oh yeah,
like Warm Bodies.
Oh, Warm Bodies. Yeah, with fucking what's his name? Beast.
Nicholas Hoult. And then there was a book series came out, and it was called The Bone Song, where loads of zombies lived in like an underworld, and they all fancied each other, and it was just all sex and stuff. But they were like, just
the rotting bodies, you know. Yeah, I think there was iZombie was a Mike Allred comic. I haven't watched the actual series of it, but that
the
was
series. I watched a couple of episodes of the series, and the series is pretty good. There's a really good actor in it called Rahul Cooley, who's really, really good in it as like a medical examiner. But it became like a what's the name of the show? It's like a procedural show, but just a zombie thrown into it as well. As I said, zombies are such a cultural icon. At this point, I don't think they could lose.
Well, they're up against Dracula. Now, Dracula is the vampire. Like, what is the fucking point of a vampire if you're not talking about Dracula when it comes to... Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin's here. How you doing?
Kids.
No.
Oh,
no,
sorry.
So I'm going to focus on Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm not focusing on Bela Lugosi. I'm not focusing on Christopher Lee. You know, I think even Bela Lugosi played him on Broadway. That's the thing. Dracula started the big revitalization of Dracula being kind of sexy, sensual kind of Dracula, all stemmed from Bela Lugosi doing Dracula on Broadway, this kind of stage production of Dracula. Was it Bela Lugosi? Pretty sure it was. But I'm looking here. I have a couple of... I mean, look, everyone fucking knows who Dracula is. He's iconic. Like, also, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to throw this down now. Well,
is this your fucking nuclear option, what you're going to say?
Well, I mean, I don't really have much of a nuclear option, but it's fucking Dracula. Like, when it comes to, like, there's a costume that you're being a monster, it's Dracula.
But it is, it's also, you don't know what to dress as for Halloween. It's like, oh, I'll just put a bit of red around my mouth and I'm a zombie.
Yeah,
a
bit of Heinz in the bin bag.
Yeah.
And then you are Dracula, but that's so iconic. It is just, like, it is, like, Monster Squad. Universal monsters. Like, where, like, if Dracula wasn't featured, you'd be like, where's Dracula? Where's Poochie? When Dracula's not there, it's like,
where's Dracula?
Where's Dracula?
Keanu Reeves, where's Dracula?
Where's Mina? Where's Dracula? Let me tell you some of the powers of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Superhuman strength. Van Helsing says Dracula's strength of 20 men. Superhuman speed. He can move so fast that sometimes it's difficult for mortals to even perceive him. Right? Wall crawling, shape shifting, shadow manipulation, psychic powers, hypnosis, telekinesis, weather manipulation, control over his thralls, control over beasts, vampirism. He can sire new ones. He has fighting prowess. He's a genius level intellect. He's just, I love zombies.
Mm.
And this is not a give. Look, I know we're kind of, because we've done our research, this doesn't need to be a debate. We can both just agree.
Yeah.
That Dracula beats, you know, zombies are great. It's a shame that zombies aren't up against fucking Patrick Swayze later on in this. But do you know what
spoilers.
I mean? Spoiler. But this is like, there's a witch, which actually we have no witches in here.
Yeah, I just fucking saw it. Yeah, yeah. I was actually thinking about
How many women do we have in here? I got rid of Candyman, so I'm really fucking up the minorities here. There's a lot of white males on monsters in this.
But aren't they all?
Aren't they all? Hey, isn't the biggest monster
man? My dad.
My dad. come on, look, it's Dracula.
Yeah, I know, fucking, because I had look, so
it's
much.
It's not conceding. Anything.
I showed Tony my notes. I have so much. Going back to Lovecraft, but we're like Reanimator and stuff. But like, I didn't know who the matchups were before today. Mm. Fuck.
I did send you the list ahead of time.
Oh, yeah, I don't read your shit.
It's fine. I mean, the
I actually would give you that because zombies. If there was like a sort of a hierarchical. Oh fuck! I actually forgot to speak again.
That's okay. That's what literally. If
there was a level of monsters that were in it, I think Dracula would be one of the top echelons. Yeah, I knew that word. But the zombies would be like cannon fodder or like henchmen.
Well, now what happens is in round two, it will be Dracula versus the Graboids. Very exciting times.
Okay, I'll give you that. So.
Okay, next up we have, in a battle of the whack-offs, it's the Scorpion King versus Jack Frost, the snowman. Probably shouldn't have competed these two against each other because they're both kind of, you know.
I can't believe we have no witches and we just have Jack Frost and the Scorpion King.
What did I put in? Fucking The Witch or Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, Hocus Pocus or Blair Witch.
Shit. Yeah. We'll get rid of one of them. Will we get rid of the Scorpion King?
But then you'd have to do the whole...
Whatever, I'll just talk about the Blair Witch.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right, the Blair Witch versus Jack Frost. The Michael Keaton Jack Frost? Jago, did you go to Michael Keaton Jack Frost?
No, I didn't. Michael Jack... this is a weird...
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson! This is
Michael
such
Jackson.
A weird... weird... anomaly. Like, there's two movies that came out sort of similar times. One Jack Frost and one is like another Jack Frost.
Yeah, within 2 years, I think.
Yeah, that's
other.
Crazy.
The same, like, reanimated snowman. One is the kind of absentee father learns to bond with his child in the body of a snowman. The other is...
A vicious murderer and rapist.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so this is crazy. Like, so I actually went on YouTube and looked at the best bits of it, of the two Jack Frosts, because there's actually two of them. I'll explain what's going on. So Jack Frost is actually a serial killer who's been serial killer and rapist who's been transferred from one prison to another, and he's taunting a lot of people and stuff like that. There's a car crash, and his prison van crashes into a chemical van. The chemical van is full of like what we think is acid. The acid sprays all over him, and he melts. His whole body melts, but then it turns out he's actually become snow. He's reconstituted as a snowman. And then he spends the whole time. It's funny, like, but that's the exact same story as Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. But he spends the whole movie doing shite jokes and like doing really bad sexual assault with his nose, which is a
does he?
Carrot. Yeah, like
where?
He murders a couple of people
with his nose.
Yeah, like
in their vaginas.
Yeah,
what does
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and he like cuts their necks and stuff
that's
like that.
That's fucking mad. Do you know what? Because Freddy Krueger's in this later. I was just looking at the sort of caliber of what like. An R or I've said it three different ways there, rated movie would have been back in the day. And it's just insane that like we look at stuff like Hereditary, we're like, oh my God, could you believe that? That doesn't fucking come
close
to the crass Carry On that used to be in the old horror movies.
There's a movie coming up which I'm fucking mad about, and reading the reviews of it when it first came out, it was voted one of the most hated movies of all time because it was so violent. But looking at it now, it's just so not violent.
Mm. Okay. So Jack Frost. Okay. So the reanimated serial killer, kind of a carnage, but he's a snowman.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, he's very. It's very I don't want to say tongue in cheek, because there is a lot of rape and murder in it, but the fact is, a lot of it is comedy. There's a lot of like, oh, you're so cold, baby, and all this shit. And
does he do like the Freddy Krueger call people like bitch?
Yeah, stuff so similar to that. Mm-hmm. Like, so in the first one, he's you find out that the acid wasn't acid. It turns out to be some sort of material that can break down the human soul into liquid.
Mm.
And what they were doing is they were melting people down in case there's a nuclear holocaust, so they could have a human soul to put in like a robot body or something. I don't know. It's very confusing. But so this guy, this serial killer becomes a snowman, and then he gets the ability to be like, you can't shoot him because you can't shoot snow, mm-hmm. no matter how hard you try.
No.
Uncle Michael. And then he can reconstitute. So if you do melt them, you come back. There's a weird scene where there's a boy, and he's like, he's nowhere through the movie is it said that he has special needs or anything like that, but he puts antifreeze in his dad's oatmeal because he thinks his dad is too cold.
Oh, what?
And the dad is the sheriff, like the hero of the movie, whatever sure. that. And the dad's like, oh, I want my dad to warm up. So they're pouring antifreeze into his oatmeal. And then Jack Frost attacks him. And then he throws his oatmeal over Jack Frost, and they find out his weakness in the movie. And it was like, it's antifreeze in my oatmeal.
That's crazy.
It's so like, they just couldn't think of anything there. So like, what can kill snow? Antifreeze?
Bit of war, bit of heat.
No,
fucking hairdryer.
What happens is they melt him, and then he can reconstitute into it. Like
Alex Mack.
In like the T-1000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The graphics look good?
No, they're so ropey. Like it's literally, they built a snowman, then heated it up and reversed it.
Well, look, it's a shame to get the Scorpion King.
Or R.I.P. Scorpion King.
R.I.P.
The worst graphics. Do you remember the graphics in the Scorpion King movie?
Yeah, I actually saw them, a bunch of CG experts, redo it. And yeah. they deepfaked The Rock's face and put it over, and it actually looked okay.
Oh, nice.
Poor Mateus, the Scorpion King, created by Stephen Sommers, Mummy Returns 2001. He's got the body of a scorpion, but he's The Rock. Anyway, he does not make the cut. Look, the Blair Witch, I don't have my notes here because we just added it. Mm. I don't even know the story. I think, hang on, let me just look at the top bit of the story here. In the winter of 1785, Ellie Kedward was banished from the town of Blair after several local children accused her of performing witchcraft. She was presumed dead from exposure. She was hung in a tree. With stones tied to each of her limbs, stretching her body down with gravity. The next year, all of her accusers and half the town's children vanish without a trace. Mm. Fearing a curse, the townspeople immediately fled Blair, vowing never to utter the name Ellie Kedward. Sam Adams' book told the trial of Ellie Kedward, her execution and supposed rebirth, as well as the curse of the entire town. It contained the first recorded term of the Blair Witch. Now, I don't have the details here. I fucking love... Blair Witch is probably my favourite horror film of all time.
There's like... Even, I haven't looked at it myself, but thinking about like what sort of power she has, there's definitely some sort of temporal manipulation, like time-wise.
100%, yeah.
And a sort of spatial manipulation.
And the ability to reappear when... When they're running in the fucking woods and there's not, you can't even say, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And you can't see it and you don't see anything. It is so, I kicked the fucking map in the creek. I love it. And when he's sitting in the, when just standing in the corner, being a fucking creepy weirdo, the Blair Witch made playing in the dark fun for me. It actually made like going out into St. Anne's. We used to go into St. Anne's sometimes. We'd smoke a bit of weed. We'd go into St. Anne's when we were like 17 and we'd go into... in there, and we'd look for. Apparently, there's a skull.
The ossuary. The skull thing. Yeah, I've seen it. It's all bird skulls and shit.
Yeah. Apparently, so. Apparently,
I visited like when I was young. It's still there.
We'd always try and go in there and find it in the woods, but like just playing in the woods where it's dark and just being creeped out. Mm. It added, like, Jaws did it for water. Tremors did it for land.
Sand.
For sand.
Jack Frost did it for snow.
Jack Frost did it for snow. And the Blair Witch did it for just dark. Just being dark, in the woods in the dark. Like, we went camping and we saw that fucking skull.
We went camping, and like by our campsite, like about 20 meters away, there was like a big pit.
Altar.
A big altar. And there was a bird skull, and there was mini bird skulls in the fire. And then...
And a deer skull.
And a deer skull as well. Yeah. So we obviously put on red lamps and just went over and chanted for about an hour, and like
it was great. It was really good.
Terrifying,
fun.
But
anyway, St. Anne's is meant to be like a wall made of like dog skulls, because St. Anne's was owned by the Guinness family. One of the Guinness heirs apparently was a bit left to his own devices. Was kind of left to do make whatever he wanted, and what he really wanted to make was a wall made of dog skulls.
Rich people just like lose it so much more they than really like do. Poor people. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
If the Guinness weren't so good to their workers, you know, you might be critical of the whole family. But anyway, the Blair Witch, like, it
reinvented the horror, because before Blair Witch, we had sort of like hacky slashers like Scream, where they were so real self-aware, be like, oh, this is a killer chasing us and stuff.
Yeah.
And this sort of went back to its roots of like, we don't know what it is. It's in the forest. I'm shit myself.
You know what I mean?
And the fact that like it's done like a documentary style is really good as well.
And it wasn't on any... It's not really a monster, but... Well, it is a monster, but it wasn't on any list, which I think is why we kind of omitted it from this list. But I would say, is there any other monster that you don't know what... You couldn't... I don't know what it looks like, and it doesn't matter. Like, there's the symbol of it. You never see it.
Which, after you told me that... Is that the symbol of her being stretched with the stones hung up?
Oh, maybe.
I just remember that there. I was like, oh, just realized that there, yeah. But, yeah, fuck that. Like, fuck Jack Frost.
All right, great.
I was so confident about the Scorpion King, and then you're like, maybe Blair Witch. Are you going to do this?
This is not a winner. This is not, there's nothing to do with that, right? Okay, yeah. Next up. Okay. All right, we didn't spread this out properly. I think I gave myself both of these, but we can talk about them together. The aliens. A.K.A. the Harvesters from Independence Day. Do you know that's what they were called? The Harvesters? Versus Kong.
Yeah, you definitely... I have nothing on my notes about this.
Fair enough. Well, we can just chat about it. Look, it's Kong, but we'll park that for a second. Let's just talk about Independence Day. So apparently, a bit of trivia about the Harvesters is, right, that Roland Emmerich tasked production designer Patrick Tatopoulos to design the Harvesters, right? He came up with two different designs for the Harvesters, one that was kind of a fearsome-looking, large, big tentacles, and the other kind of a more frail, traditional alien design. Emmerich loved both of them so much that he said, that's the suit for that one.
No way! Yeah, said, that's pretty cool.
KY jelly was used to give the aliens a slimy appearance, and it had to be applied several times a day because the outdoor scenes with the intense heat in the Utah desert called the jelly to evaporate. There was someone whose whole job, probably for a whole summer, was lubing up aliens.
Do you know what? In two of my creatures I have later on, in the big thing about KY jelly, it seems to be very popular in the special effects world.
It is. I've never had it. Anyway,
is it not just like slimy Vaseline?
Vaseline, you get Vaseline. Remember that, Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
You get Vaseline, and you get Vaseline. I don't. Oh, you got it. Okay.
Anyway.
As well, like I mean, so what I like about the Independence Day aliens is like. Roland Emmerich obviously knows how to do destruction.
Mm.
So they have the city destroyer, obviously the 15-mile wide. It seems like Roland Emmerich is just fucking so dumb that he's just like, make it bigger.
Bigger.
The mothership is 2,900 kilometers wide. Being like, that's twice the size of Texas, sir. You know, all this shit. Like, I love that. Just make it huge. Just make it huge. Yeah. Like, you know, like the day
I don't
after
even
tomorrow.
Think about the structure, like the fucking substructures that need to be created for that, like to get oxygen and water.
Doesn't make sense. Well, apparently the Harvesters can breathe. Look, they're one of my. I love Independence Day. It's probably one of my favorite alien. It's probably my favorite alien invasion movie. Which I don't know how, you know. Well, Mass. You know, I suppose next to Mars Attacks, which was the same year. Funnily enough,
was it?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's a new 1996.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Independence Day was 96. Remember ID4 96?
Oh yeah.
Independence Day 4 96.
Oh, we're not even gonna talk about the sequel there, by the way.
It's great. It's fucking great.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. I have a whole movie bake commentary of it, where I was me and Jordan and Joey Lahai and well, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you've said a lot that. But anyway, Independence Day, I just remember watching it. And I just remember those people being like, "Welcome to Earth," and like, "Oh," and on top of the skyscraper.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and you know that would happen.
It totally would happen.
Aliens would come, and they were definitely like angry at us.
I mean, if they come with ships that are called, you know, city destroyers, then you know they're only here for one thing. I liked Independence Day too. I actually think it's one of the things where you can kind of take the world of it. Take the kind of story of it and just fucking laugh at it because they get it so wrong. They're like, how can we make it bigger? They do a giant queen chasing after them in the running after them down the end. You know, they have, and I tell you what Independence Day should have been. Independence Day Resurgence should have been. One of the stories is that one of the guys who's in the team is like a fucking fearsome alien killer because he's like this African despot who like has been killing them and using their technology to kind of sees him do a military coup and now he's kind of like in charge of this either town or city or possibly country, I don't remember. But like you kind of see the husks of all the old suits in the jungles and stuff and it's like that should have been the fucking movie, being like these militant, you know,
guerrillas,
African army, fucking fighting against, you know, this, you know, these aliens.
I hate woods. Like one of my pet peeves is in a movie where you see like a subplot that is way better than the main plot, and you're like, that I'm so much more interested in, like in World War Z. Oh, God rest zombies. But they talk about, for literally a split second, they talk about in South Korea how there was no infections because, North Korea, there was no infections because they made all their citizens take out their own teeth. So they couldn't bite people.
Oh, what?
Yeah, like, and it's just so like, I was like, I'd love to be just like a journalist in there watching it. Something
yeah,
like that.
That's so much more interesting. Do you know what I was thinking as well? This is just a sidebar. There's so many movies that are ruined by them going to the farm for a while, right? Looper. You know, where they're just like, it's really exciting, it's in the city, it's the future, all this interesting stuff about times and loops, and they go off to the fucking farm for a while, it's really boring.
Yeah.
The Turtles movie, you know, where they're all like on the hunt and then Raph needs to be kind of like resuscitated and they end up going to a fucking farm for a while.
Maybe the farm represents something.
There was another one as well that was kind of like that, like Looper.
Avengers, they did that as well. They go to the farm.
They go to the farm for a while. Like, yeah. I don't need a fucking bread. Bring me back to what the good stuff. Anyway, King Kong. Okay, King Kong. I fucking love Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to be bold here. I think this is fucking best film.
Really?
I prefer it to Lord of the Rings. I think it's great. I would happily put on King Kong and watch the entirety of
He has such a fucking hard on for Andy Serkis, doesn't he?
Oh, Andy Serkis is fucking incredible.
He's great.
Like. Andy Serkis deserves everything that is given to him.
I can just say, like, sorry, I'm going to fucking spoil it here. It's horrible death in that movie, in Kong.
Oh, does he get fucking eaten by an leech? Actual weta, or weta?
Leech things.
Yeah, but like they are actual weta, like they're actual little grubs.
David
Weta. Who's even hotter than David Guetta?
David Weta.
You know, Weta Workshops, who do all the monster making and stuff, do all the computer generated stuff. Those are actual like what wetas are. Those are grubs. So they make fucking massive and then eat the fucking heads off Andy Serkis. I know, of course, 1933's Kong is iconic, and obviously this was
the beauty that killed the beast.
Hey, and this was pre Harryhausen. This was like stop motion. That was pre Ray Harryhausen. All the Clash of the Titans and all that. One of your favorite films.
One of my favorite films, Harryhausen. Like, just we'll go into it because we actually do bring him up somewhere.
We do have some in there. But Kong, what do we have about Kong? Look, it's King Kong. It's fucking King Kong.
Yeah, we talked about the aliens later, but like Kong is fucking. You can't beat him. Yeah.
He's one of the greatest monsters of.
He's just a representation of pure primal strength. You know what I mean? Like he's like it's technology versus primal strength. At the end, technology will beat out primal strength.
I mean, I know he kind of loved. Who was it? Faye Dunaway?
That name rings a bell.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's Faye Dunaway. Kong, Faye, Kong. Hang on.
Type in Rule 34, it's quicker.
Faye.
Kong, Rule 34, it's a lot quicker.
No, I'm not looking at that. Faye Ray. Faye Dunaway, Faye Dunaway is your one from. Fucking other shit, whatever.
Yeah. So Kong,
Kong
next
makes
round.
It through. Oh, so Kong will be facing the Blair Witch. This is the podcast.
Yeah, this is happening.
Okay, next, the creature from the Black Lagoon versus the Brundlefly.
Oh,
from the Fly.
Yeah. So I'll go first with this. Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
David Cronenberg body horror. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Basically, he's inventor of a teleportation machine, and he teleports, but there's accidentally a fly in the mechanism, and his DNA sort of gets combined with it, and then he teleports again and again, and gets more and more combined. He has the powers of super strength, wall crawling.
Yeah, snaps a man's fucking
arm. I to this day, I still get really fucking weirded out watching this an arm snapper, like anything
it,
like that.
It's it has some of the most fucked up, like makes me feel ill when he spews up the acid on your man's face, when he snaps your man's arm out.
Well, he gets six in his own hand.
Yeah.
He's very sexy as Jeff Goldblum.
He is very
just
sexy.
Just after he gets...
When he gets peak...
Yeah.
The powers.
And he's like doing like handstands and he's fucking glistening, sweating.
Yeah.
And he's corrosive vomit as well.
Yeah.
So not while he's being sexy.
Doesn't fly though.
Doesn't fly.
Famously.
Yeah. So like as it goes on more, he gets...
More like can't fly should have been the name of the film. Because I can't well.
Because of me.
Oh, yeah, that's from my name. Tony,
yeah, I can go, yeah. Go back. So he uses the transportation machine more. He gets more and more sort of falls. His skin falls apart. The guy who did it, who did his...
The visual effects?
Visual effects. He won an Oscar for it.
Hopefully so.
It's absolutely crazy. Like, there is a sequel. I don't like the sequel, though, because they literally just, like, pretend Gina Davis is in it and kill her off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She dies in childbirth, and then it's like a daughter who's the fly.
Yeah,
or is
she
it a dies. Boy?
It's a boy, and then he manages to get rid of his fly DNA, but he transfers it into someone else because it's saved on the system or something like that.
Not Cronenberg, no.
No, it wasn't Cronenberg. Cronenberg didn't want it. He said there's always an ending to the stories. Although he did, Cronenberg did do some more films that were like had sequels and stuff. But it's just you need to watch it. Like, it's not like a proper jump scare horror, but it is. Any of David Cronenberg's movies where he's just his body horror is just fucking insane. It's there's a lot of like theories online that it's like a metaphor for growing old. That like you become decrepit and like your people just see it as like some sort of creature and they just don't want to deal with you or anything like that, so they just shoot you in the head with a shotgun.
I mean, it's inspired by is that fucking Kafka Metamorphosis story.
Yeah, I'll correct you there. Like, it's actually based on a George Langadier Jr. Book on the 1958 called The Fly. It's a novella. And they also do, and there's a movie for it as well, which is actually pretty fucking shite. But then the new one is, I loved it. Jeff Goldblum like stole the show. This is the time when he had his little perm, his like mullet perm.
Yeah, he looked awesome.
He looked fucking class.
I mean, he probably looks the best as Ian Malcolm. I think he's still like here, you know,
yeah,
with his big chest, big bulging chest. It's a fucking great, and it's so well executed. And could you imagine how just fucking bin, like bargain bin shit would be a remake now? Yeah. And they do CG, and it would look like fucking dog shit. And they would never take the risks of like literally trying to melt someone's face. I know they didn't do that. Okay, versus Gilman. I've actually never seen Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh yeah,
but I kind of love him. I kind of love Gilman.
He's so, like, even before we start, he's so iconic. Like, he can't even fucking...
So, Creature from the Black Lagoon. I mean, it's such a weird one. I mean, if you look at, like, The Monster Squad, another film I've not seen as well, which is fucking shocking because it has everything that I should love.
Wolfman has nards?
Ah, see, I got to see
That's a classic, classic quote
well.
There.
Created by Morris Zim in 1954, Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Gilman creature. So, the idea... behind this character, you've probably seen it. The biggest inspiration you've probably seen recently would have been Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Which was heavily inspired by this because it's this kind of like, he's not entirely bad, but he just, you know, basically the idea behind this thing came, apparently an unnamed Brazilian director met the writer of this film, was it Morrison, at the home of Orson Welles. And the unnamed director spoke of a friend of his who disappeared in the Amazon in an attempt to film a documentary about the rumored population of fish people. Why haven't we fucking covered fish people?
I mean, there's some sort of fish people we've covered.
No, whatever. I don't remember what we fucking done. So the Gilman is fully amphibious. He's capable of breathing both in and out of water. He is vulnerable to Rotenon. I don't know what that is, but he also possesses superhuman strength. He also has large webbed hands, sharp claws. He has scaly skin that's very tough. He also has, like Wolverine, he's got a healing factor, and he can survive stuff like, you know, stabbings, gunshots. He even gets fully immolated at one point, set on fire.
That seems to be like a trend with a lot of these old sort of black and white, like 1940 movies and stuff like that, is where they'll come up with some magical element that'll defeat them. Like, it's the only thing that
can defeat
them.
Because the unrelenting force is such a scary thing that no matter what, this thing will still come. That's what makes it almost like dreamlike, where you're like, no, how can this not be real? And that's what's so particularly scary. Like, it almost stirs up that emotion that you have, being like, I'm running, but I still can't get away.
Yeah, like when you're asleep and you're like asleep. Running through fucking jelly.
Look, the Gilman, I think the Gilman's great. I'd fucking give it to the Brundlefly.
I think...
Gilman's iconic.
He's iconic, exactly.
The Brundlefly deserves to be far more iconic. I think it's a far better film.
When it first came out, exactly, everyone, same again. Like, it just seems to be a lot of, when it comes out first, everyone's just like, no, don't like this.
No,
I don't like it. He's after breaking your man's hand. but yeah, this is one, like, I sort of rolled over and presented myself after the other couple, but I think this one is going to be the Brundlefly.
Congratulations, Brundlefly. You brought Brundlefly. You have made it through to the next round. Next up, the competition. And this is fucking big. It's fucking big. It's good looking and it's fucking big. This is Godzilla versus the Marshmallow Man.
Whoa! Yeah. Literally big.
Literally big.
Let me find the fucking...
Do you want to do Gojira?
Yeah.
Gojira.
Hold on. Cut this out.
That's all right. I can kick it off if you want to stay puff Marshmallow
No,
Man.
I got it here.
Okay, piece of shit.
Godzilla, King of Monsters.
By Mark Jago. By Mark ten Jago. And a half.
10.5. I walked to the shop and that Godzilla said... No, Godzilla, like, Godzilla, he is, like, so iconic. Like, he's been in 36 movies.
Jesus.
And that's not even including, like, video games, TV shows, movies, and stuff like that. His first appearance was in 1954. For people who don't know, he's, like, a gigantic upright lizard with hard scales on it who has atomic breath. He was created in the original... Yeah, exactly. Like, he was created in the original Japanese movie by the bombing of in Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Oh, he was inspired by that.
And there was also an incident where a boat drove into a highly irradiated area and all the crew died. So this was inspired by that. Godzilla, it's this huge creature. Like, he's a force of nature. He's like, there's a lot of metaphors from Godzilla is nuclear weapons. He represents them. He also represents the USA, like, who was like a slumbering beast until they were provoked with Pearl Harbor and they came back and destroyed the Japanese. He plays by his own rules. Like, in like half the movies, he's a benevolent fighter who will fight for humans against enemies that are trying to destroy humans. And in the other half of the movie, he's just one that eats and destroys everything itself. There's no control of him. He's a force in nature. He's been shot into space. He's been shot with like nuclear bombs himself, and he got stronger. He's been blown up. Like, there's loads of way. His name in Japanese comes from Gojira, which means gorilla and whale mixed together. The kanjis mixed together.
Oh, really?
So his name is just gorilla whale.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool. It's not the same cool.
Godzilla's better.
He's just so iconic. Like, and I have to say, the movies. That the Matthew Broderick movie, the way
and then P. Diddy, come with me.
Best songs, I have to say, for horror movies monster movies, but
probably for monster movies. Yeah,
but the
I
movie
still think
was pretty shit though.
Batman Forever has the greatest soundtrack of all time.
Yeah,
that, you know, you two and the Seal song that has no right being in a Batman film, but and also like. Could you argue that the kind of, I mean, is Godzilla the original kaiju?
He is, yeah, because kaiju just means like large, I think. Actually, like,
but like, I mean, and in terms of like obviously we see it in so many different manga and anime. You know, Japan is so obsessed with it exploding, with Tokyo exploding, with there being another atomic attack, with just massive fucking. Global atomic destruction.
There's a lot of like sort of weird sort of nods to like destruction and the atomic age and stuff like that. Like his skin, the original skin was based on survivors of Nagasaki who had like keloid scars.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's like, it is pretty grim when you think about it. And like in the original, he was played by a man in a suit who used to just stomp along and like then became CGI eventually and stuff like that. But that spawned off a huge thing with like. In Power Rangers, where they get big and they destroy cities,
totally.
It's like 100% based on that, and it, like even in like Ultraman and stuff like that, it's based on it. So I think Godzilla is so iconic in these. I think that's my go-to. By the way, he's so iconic.
Well, look there. I mean, this is we are looking at to even get into this tournament. You got to be the fucking Ben de la Creme of
like Scorpion King.
Yeah, we do a few in there just for fun. But another iconic, but a derivative, essentially, of Godzilla is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. But I'm going to go one more and say this. I'm going to talk about Gozer. Yeah. Because Gozer is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. If you remember, Gozer says to
think of anything
Ray,
in destruction.
Yeah, choose your destroyer.
Yeah.
You know? And then Venkman, Ray, Ray is not Bill Murray, is it?
No.
Ray is Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ray then thinks of the staple of Marshmallow Man, who's a fictitious, not Michelin Man, but you know, it's just something in between. Anyway, Gozer is created by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd. Gozer went through so many different interpretations. You probably remember Gozer from the end of Ghostbusters, 1984 film. Gozer is kind of this cool, androgynous, shape-shifting god, but originally was going to be... was going to be fucking, what's his name, Paul Rubens.
Yeah, like from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He was going to be Paul Rubens dressed as like as a kind of like a, what do you call it, like, was it called a Z-Man, like a kind of Fed?
Yeah.
He was going to be like a J. Edgar Hoover kind of, you know, like the Men in Black that we covered before, you know, those kind of weird guys didn't even know how to eat a fucking omelet or eat a steak with a fucking knife and fork, that kind of thing.
But obviously some things happened.
But some things changed. And I think Harold Ramis went in one day, was like, look, we just make Gozer... a woman. They went through a couple of different iterations of that, and then they landed on something that we want to make Gozer this kind of androgynous David Bowie, Grace Jones kind of character. But the history of Gozer is they're a Sumerian shape-shifting god, also known as Gozer, the Gozerian, Gozer the Destructor, etc. They gain entry to worlds via a ritual performed by two demigods. Did you remember Vince Clartho, who
and the Lock?
And
gatekeeper, what's it called?
He was the keymaster.
Yeah, keymaster.
Zool was the gatekeeper. And yeah, that's well, no, I'll tell you some of the powers. So goes.
Sorry, hold on. When I wind Tony up here now.
And then Gozer is a very powerful being. Displays extraordinary ability to travel interdimensionally, shape change, telepathy, great agility, stamina, lightning blasts, and of course, being able to turn into a fucking giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And obviously, apparently, can conjure up fucking clouds as well. Because when she entered the dimension, they entered the dimension. I think Gozer needs to be the NB kind of icon, you know, like the kind of gender fluid. This is a fucking...
thing that they go for marshes and like on Pride Day, and it's just loads of pictures.
Loads of
pictures
of fucking Gozer.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and stuff.
Yeah, just wear a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man should be a badge. Should be like, I'm NB and I'm proud.
How about, all right? So us
not
two,
that I get to tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Us two are as a white and straight man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We're on top of that skyscraper.
Yeah.
Gozer comes out and says, "Choose your destroyer." What appears?
Big old set of lovely jabs, because it would just go to my default. Right now, I'm thinking of tits.
Yeah.
So it would just be that's.
So when you
try at any given time, if I'm eating food, I'm thinking tits. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like playing Ghost of Tsushima. I'm thinking about tits.
Yeah.
So it would just be tits.
Always I think tits. A lot of people would be pretty happy about that. Just like
it'd be great. It'd be great. You know, hopefully they wouldn't. You know, they wouldn't just knock everyone over.
Like they can. Tits can be pretty heavy.
Yeah. I love to climb up a big pair of tits. Anyway, that's a 6% beer for you.
Yeah, sorry.
What would your destroyer be?
If you said to me, "Oh, clear your mind, don't think of anything," my mind goes straight to like just a big like ball of goo. Well, why is that funny?
You think of a ball of goo?
My brain just thinks of like this purple shape. Like, I don't know, but I assume that...
Tell us more about him.
What?
Tell us more about this destroyer.
So he's got the purple shape, so like, if you tell me to empty my mind and not try and think of anything, I'd be like, all right, so it's literally just a shape of purple.
Yeah.
That has, like, it has sides, but doesn't do anything. Like, what do you think of when you turn your mind off?
Okay, do you know what? Like, I'm actually, to be fair to you, remember the Moomins?
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, the villain in the Moomins looked like kind of like a... elephant or something?
Yeah,
sharp little nose. That's the when you said choose your destroyer and I kind of cleared my mind, that was the first thing I thought of. So that big thing would probably from the Moomins would show up.
Do you know what
but he's also pink.
They call mozzarella in Iceland Moomin meat.
Do they?
Yeah, that's gross.
Horrible.
Anyway, I think Godzilla wins this.
Of course, 100%. Yeah. Next up, we have, so hang on, interesting, we have Godzilla versus the Brundlefly.
Ooh.
That might be it. I'm not gonna suggest that, but that could be icon versus favorite, because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there. Anyway, sure. We have Gremlins versus Pennywise.
Ooh.
Could both of these be yours?
They are both mine.
Great. Well, let's hear about it.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you, first and foremost, I fucking love the Gremlins, man. Yeah. Gremlins got to be one of my top five films up there with the other five films I've mentioned so far.
I love how it was marketed towards kids, and it was just like definitely not a kids movie.
Man, like it's so not like the first one. Well, I don't know. Like again, we're talking about comedy, you know, comedy horror.
Yeah, comedy horror. So well. Gremlins, like, Saturday Night 84 is the first movie about it. So basically, Gremlin is...
Say that again.
Started in 1984. It's a movie called Gremlins. Yeah. Gremlins started originally as an RAF sign saying, don't let the gremlins get in your car.
Right.
Or, sorry, in your plane, because RAF were driving.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so it became from that.
So the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, sort of.
The actual gremlin on the side.
Yeah, it used to be like a slang, so make sure there's no gremlins in it, which was just a little thing. But there is loads of like World War II pictures of like gremlins doing it. But this movie came out. How it started is, if you haven't seen it, so there's a creatures, like really cute creatures called Mogwais. Mm. And they can't be, they can't get wet, they can't be fed after midnight, and they can't get into sun. But obviously one of these happens, they get fed after midnight, and they turn into these things called gremlins. Gremlins are reptilial creatures who with big bat wings who only live to cause mischief and hurt people.
Some of them have bat wings.
No, bat ears. Did I say bat wings?
Yeah, you said bat wings.
Oh, bat-like ears.
Sure.
Yeah, so one they all have bat wings.
One of them has bat wings.
One of them bat wings.
The one that ends up in the cement.
Yeah, so basically in 1990, a new movie came out called The New Batch, where they invaded a skyscraper that had a science department, and they all took different serums that changed them.
Key and Peele do a fantastic sketch about it, where he's just guy just making up gremlins off the top of his head.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's so good.
See that.
Where he's all like, fruit gremlin, lady gremlin, and it's all like, I'm here to write the movie. I'm like, anyway, just fucking throw a gremlin out there. Just throw it. Like, it's this really kind of camp screenwriter.
Like, the phantom gremlin who gets acid in his face in the whole movie, he just spends it like Phantom of the Opera. Yeah, do you remember that?
It's great.
But
it's like Animaniacs.
I read this thing, like, and so apparently Mogwais are from a different planet. They are...
What?
Yeah, so this is canon.
No.
Mogwais were created to be ambassadors for peace from this planet that had no sun or no water, and they were sent to our planet to try and spread peace, but obviously with the water.
Are they subterranean, or just they have no light?
No, they have their planet is like has no sun near it or no water, so they survive on it. And the fact that they sent to our planet, the sun kills them, and if they eat after midnight, they turn into these gremlins. They're a byproduct of this whatever it's going on. Gremlins just tend to destroy things for fun. They there's always like both movies start with like a really cute Mogwai, like a super cute Mogwai, and then it gets
Gizmo.
Is both Gizmo and Boat, is it?
It's Gizmo and Boat, yeah.
Yeah. And then as soon as they get wet, they multiply. And then in the first one, it's a town where like he goes in, starts smashing stuff up. In
and it's a Christmas movie, technically.
Yeah, technically it is. Like Die Hard is.
Yeah.
And in the second one, they fight Hulk Hogan in the middle of the movie. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, that it goes full Looney Tunes, like, because it breaks the fourth wall so many times. You know, the fact there are so many different fucking gremlins, the fact that it's so fucking wacky, the fact that it's actually, like, one gremlin who goes, you know.
Yeah.
You
have the nerd, or the gremlin who gets a brain and he starts speaking like this, like, posh English accent. Yeah.
He talks like Frasier.
Oh, yeah, he does. Is it done by Frasier?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Yeah, there's the woman gremlin who you told me you fancied those.
Yeah, stuff. She's still pretty hot. She ends up riding the fucking doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, fucking, with his bald head in them.
Yeah.
And then there's the spider gremlin, who's Mohawk in the second one, who is, like, fucking Spike. Terrifying. Spike's the first one, Mohawk's the second one. Stripe's the first one.
Stripe, Spike. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, these are, they're pretty fucking powerful. The fact that the water, which Earth is about 80% composed of. Yeah.
Well, what the second one was missing that the first one had is they fucking eat people. Like, they eat and bite and kill people, you know?
Yeah, in the second one they didn't. They just hurted them. Like, and there's a lot of scenes where, like, there's a granddad in it for some reason. The granddad gets
granddad
on...
monster.
Yeah, he gets on really well with all the gremlins. Like, he'll say something, the gremlins will be all laughing, and then they'll leave him alone. It's just
he interviews them. He does he and this guy who's like... like this Japanese exchange student who was really kind of outdated even for the 90s at that point, where he was like, oh, you know.
And he has like a fucking VHS thing, or not a VHS, a big
like 9mm camera and stuff, and he's running around doing all the things. I fucking love the Gremlins, man. They belong.
Most complaints of 1984 were from parents bringing their film kids to the Gremlins for movie.
See, that's the thing. It looks like the sort of flick that... It does look like the sort of flick you could bring your kids to. I'm just looking here as well. You know, you mentioned the Gremlins, and I was looking at that Twilight Zone episode. Mm. Get this, right? This is just in one episode of Twilight Zone. I've not watched Twilight Zone, but this is, you know, the one where it's like, you know, there's something on the wing. You know, that whole...
William Shatner.
William Shatner, the Nightmare 20,000 Feet. So you got William Shatner being the passenger, freaking out because he sees the Gremlin outside. Mm-hmm. Written by Richard Matheson.
Oh, fuck, really?
Your boy Richard Matheson. And directed by fucking Richard Donner, who did fucking Superman.
Yeah. Jeez, that's a fucking powerhouse there.
Yeah, I need to watch that later on. Anyway, go on. You tell me about this Pennywise character. This is actually tough.
This is a tough one. If you're thinking about like fighting, well, this is going to be an obvious one, but if you're thinking of like iconic creatures. Mm. So Pennywise is an eldritch or alien horror that actually comes from a different universe that's called the Macroverse. It's sort of a void dimension. It's a shapeshifter that can change into anything that people fear and also can change into loved one as well. Mm-hmm. Its most favorite, obviously, is the clown.
Yeah.
Its real form is the shape of a giant mutated female spider. Pregnant female spider.
Did Pennywise run the circus? Did he run a circus? You know, you see that in the latest It Chapter 2 and Chapter 1.
If you go up and you go into Wikipedia, which is our source, there's actually timelines for everything. So, like, he first crashed into Earth in 1715, where he landed in Londonderry, Maine. Mm. Just Derry.
Londonderry.
There you go, from Michael Fry. But he went to sleep then, and then he woke up and he killed a whole colony of people, which is like over 800 people. And then he eventually wormed his way into different sort of tragedies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the one is lots of children went missing with the circus, which is what I think Pennywise the Clown is based on. And then there was loads of people were killed by the Ku Klux Klan, and he was actually responsible for it. And there's a lot of sort of like it gets really fucking political, and it's mentioned in the book as well.
Mm.
But the thing about Pennywise, what works against him is the power of belief. Like, if you throw like a rock at him and you believe that rock's gonna hurt him, it's gonna hurt him.
Yeah, that's what pissed me off about Chapter 2. I really didn't like how
the gangbang scene with all the kids.
No, they cut that out, and that was in Chapter 1.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they were kind of like where he's like, No, you know, like, we believe now. No, you know. And also, the whole thing kind of wore off. Cause
did you read the book?
Fuck, look at me. No way I'm reading a fucking book.
So basically...
And if I am going to read a Stephen King book, it's going to be The Stand.
The Stand is fucking massive. But in the book, Pennywise is created by this big turtle where the universe exists on. And the turtle starts...
This is not fucking Discworld.
It's a bit like that, but the turtle pukes up our universe as we know it, and includes Pennywise. Pennywise hates him, he thinks of him as like an inferior brother or whatever.
Jesus.
But the turtle is like benevolent. He likes all humans. He likes everything and stuff like that.
Hey, Stephen King, I'll have what you're having.
Yeah, a lot. There's a lot of fucking intertwined. Like a lot of the stories.
I thought he was mad into coke. That sounds fucking insane.
Oh man, have you ever seen the fucking Maximum Overdrive or whatever movie he made about the trucks that were like really possessed? Not Christine, but like trucks that were possessed.
No,
he's in it and he's just coked off his brain.
Really?
And he's like, rah, and his little head in them, little beady eyes. But Pennywise is an immortal being. The only thing that can kill him is if you believe that you're killing him. Now, he thrives on fear, so he'll turn something that you ultimately fear, because he thinks that it salts the meat. Like, he could eat you straight away and not let you fear. But if he makes you really scared before he eats you, then it tastes better to him. So that's what he does.
Right.
It's like you getting a chicken wing, but there's no sauce on it.
I don't want sauce. I want a dry... if there's no breading on it.
Breading? No, there's no breading on it. It's just chicken wing.
Hey!
Boiled.
Hey!
There's loads of spit came out there.
It did, yeah. Pennywise is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what I prefer, but there's an argument for both here.
I see, I like Pennywise, and he's like, obviously, this huge eldritch horror inspired by like Lovecraft, who, by the way, hated Irish people.
Lovecraft hated Irish people?
Yeah.
Fuck you, asshole.
So there's a book.
Cthulhu's a dickhead. There you are. Fuck you.
Ooh, he's dead. But also, he was super racist, by the way. He thought that black people were way inferior than people.
Jesus.
Than white people. But there's a part where a guy, a book, I can't remember what it was exactly, a guy starts losing his mind. And to sort of show that he's losing his mind, he's like, and becoming dumber, like back into Neanderthal states, he starts speaking Irish.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he's all like, honey, mate.
So I'll tell you what, you can fuck your Lovecraft County, you can fuck your whatever, Lovecraft Country, whatever it is, you can fuck all this shit. I'm not watching Lovecraft it. In fact, I'm not even listening to that Lovecraft-based album that Cradle of Filth made anymore. I'm putting it in the bin. Fuck you, you're not in my house anymore.
Yeah, there's an essay, I can't remember where I read it, but I'll send it on to you. It's just literally about how Lovecraft hated Irish people so much.
Well, there, look, that settles it. It's Joe Dante's Gremlins for me.
Gremlins win.
Yeah?
Play the music.
Okay. I didn't play... Okay. Last scrap of this round. This might seem like a bit of a mismatch if they were coming at each other. Combat environment. It's Regan from The Exorcist, the girl, versus the Rancor from Return of the Jedi. So who did you have?
I had the Rancor, which I loved looking into it because I got like fucking the expanded Star Wars universe is fucking crazy when you get into stuff like this. Right, so apparently, okay. I'll go first, right?
Yeah,
the Rancor.
Do.
Is a large...
Give him back the keys, you Rancor.
You Rancor. Give him back the keys, you Rancor. That's from Gumball Run.
The Gumball episode of Jackass. Jackass.
So it's a large...
We kept saying it. We were camping. Give him... You Rancor. You stole my future, you Rancor.
Large bipedal reptilian carnivorous...
I love how you start describing things.
Why?
Because you're like, large bipedal. It's just always... It goes from those technical...
So hey! Alan's here taking a picture of us.
Hey, Al.
Bye.
Bye, Al.
Bye, Al. Yeah, so...
Give him back the keys,
you
Rancor.
Rancor. It's a large bipedal carnivorous creature native of Dathomir. Now, apparently they were very docile.
From Dathomir?
Yeah.
From Darth Maul's planet?
Darth Maul's planet, yeah. What? Exactly, yeah. Very docile, but they were tamed by the witches of Dathomir, which were these like people who had like the power of the Force, but they were thinking bad people. And they were very hard to provoke, but when once provoked or starved, they were very vicious. The one in particular I'm talking of is a Rancor called Patissa.
Patissa.
Oh,
no, I feel really bad. I already felt bad because you're mad.
Yeah, exactly. So
sometimes I put a towel on my head, and especially after COVID, and with the belly, I look like him.
big belly. So the Rancor in Jabba's palace has to fight against
the Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. Yeah, sorry, I was looking for you just for.
Sorry, I was looking at something else.
And he has a keeper called. I was going to say looks like Malik, but it's Malika.
Either way, looking at it now, he is so white to be having that tail on his head. And if his name's Malika, I think it's appropriation, even if it's in the galaxy far, far away.
It's kind of odd. But anyway, Luke kills this Rancor and by dropping a big door on his head. And Malika just cries in the corner.
Yeah, weeps.
It's not a bad ending for Malika because he ends up getting spotted by a bounty hunter. And his love for animals are like... not creatures that are semi-sentient. So he ends up like running like a little farm on a planet with them.
Is that comic?
It's comic, yeah. Comic expanded canon. Universe. But the Rancor is super strong, can cut through like plate steel, which is some sort of mad steel that's invented in the Star Wars universe. Can eat anything, can digest anything. So you could eat, as I said, it could eat metal.
Like you.
I just did a little burp there. So hey. It could eat metal and then it still poop out metal. But it's good, but like, it's not scary.
Yeah, it's not scary.
Who you got?
Have Regan, who is the exorcised girl.
So basically,
from The Exorcist.
A demon against an alligator that can walk up on its hind legs.
So look, I wish I'd done more research for this because I'll be totally honest, I haven't. Not for this one.
You're just on fucking wiki now.
I'm on the wiki now. Yeah. But, I mean, look, Exorcist, iconic. I mean, is it the devil? I don't know.
It's Pazuzu. It's a demon.
The Zuzu.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that there was an Exorcist curse. A lot of people died.
Yeah, on the, in the, like, someone had a heart attack. There was a plane crash afterwards.
Hang on, let me just very talk amongst yourselves there for a second. Let me just get the Exorcist curse up, and that'll give me just...
Exorcist was one of the most terrifying movies I ever watched as a kid. Like, when Regan started, like, doing the spider crawl down the stairs, my uncle, Derek, started talking about it, and I was literally shitting myself when he was talking about it. He was talking about it, and I was shitting myself.
What's mad about the Exorcist is it kind of occupied a similar place... from at least in how people talked about it for me in Ireland, of like the, you know, the fucking life of Brian, like the fact that this was so, sacrilegious,
yeah,
was added so much to the horror. Definitely here, where it's like you have to go to fucking, like, I remember, well, this was not The Exorcist, but I remember my parents telling me to go, they had to go to like you know, private screenings of The Life of Brian because it just was illegal to see. A fucking Monty Python film. But it, the same sort of thing here. The fact that, like, I found fucking Stigmata terrifying back when I fully believed in all that, in, like, you know, like End of Days, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, I found terrifying.
End of Days, yeah, do you remember?
Like, I found any film to do with the devil. The devil for me was like number one horror. And I didn't even like to, I didn't even like to say the devil's name in my head. I didn't even like to say devil. You know, I'd never say 666. I'd never say that because I always thought that was kind of conjuring. So I was terrified of the devil.
Speaking of the devil, sort of buzz.
Well, no. What do you mean?
So apparently if you said the devil's name, he'd appear before you. That's what Speak of the Devil comes from.
Oh.
Well, there you go. And fact.
Jacob's fact of the day. And he should appear. So yeah, one night... oh, hang on. No, I don't have this. So shooting was delayed after a set fire destroyed what was supposed to be the home. And director William Friedkin blamed the incident on a winged creature with talons. It seemed a pigeon had found its way into one of the circuit boxes and caused the fire. Or maybe the Birdman of Coolock. Yeah. We'll never know. And Regan's room was unharmed by the fire the whole time. During the filming, actress Ellen Burstein, who played Regan's mother, was actually injured when the possessed Regan throws her to the ground. The take was used in the film, and the blood-curdling scream is completely genuine. The injury still bothers her to this day. Actors Jack McGowan and Vasiliki Maliaros both died while the film was in pre-production. Which makes their deaths strange is that the characters actually died in the film as well. Other deaths include Linda Blair's grandfather, Max von Sydow's brother, who died on Max's first day of shooting. Also while filming, the son of Jason Miller, who played Father Damien Karras, was killed when a motorbike hit him. That's a lot of fucking deaths.
That's, yeah. But is it though, like, if you look at any other movie, I don't know, the deaths, I think maybe it's just because it's associated with a horror movie, like, if you look at fucking... the Trolled World Tour, is there loads of deaths in that movie, you know? Like, do people die? Like, has people's family members died in Journey?
You're right. Pazuzu is the demon.
Yeah.
Pazuzu is the main antagonist. Let's talk about Pazuzu for a second, okay? Pazuzu is a combination of animal and human parts. Mm. What?
It's like, you see like a stone statue of it, it's like, has wings. And
is it like a chimera?
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Yeah.
Oh, he's awful. I've seen him now. Right, I don't know fuck all about this guy, clearly.
And he's scaring you.
But he's better than fucking Rancor.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to him. Rancor is just like, he's scary in the, like, I actually feel sorry for him because he is just a pet. Like, where I'm living now, there's like two doors down, there's a guy who breeds Rottweilers and they're so fucking, like, you look at them and they're terrifying and then you walk by them and they all jump up in the gate and they all try and like get you to rub them and they're gorgeous and you rub them. And I'm just like, how could anyone be scared of these creatures? And it's the same with the Rancor. Like, I see him and I hear his owner crying and I understand. He's been starved in Jabba the Hutt's. Like, Jabba's starving him.
All those bones he'd been eating. Look, there was nothing else on the bone that he'd even put in his mouth. That, you know, that snaps. There was nothing on the bone. There was not a single bit of meat. He must have been gnawing at that bone. He didn't even have lips.
I'm going to call him the DSPCA. Or TSPCA. Tatooine Animal Protection.
It was Tatooine, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. That makes things very interesting. All right, let's get some music here.
First up in round two, the fucking Graboids grabbing their way. Will they be able to do a bit of grabbing on Bram Stoker's Dracula? You'll have to find out. Next up, we have the Blair Witch. I haven't even seen her. Versus King Kong. I don't know what I'm doing here.
King Kong in the next round. Then you have better than the fucking creature from Black Lagoon. We got the Brundlefly versus Godzilla in the battle of the... Will Godzilla put his little tongue out and eat the fly? And then we have Gremlins versus the Regan.
Regan possesses a mad strength, but is she gonna fight the gremlins who can multiply with water? Who knows? Who H2O's knows?
Very good. I'm so glad you added that. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, Jago. Great to be back.
Great to be back. That's for episode one down.
Episode one down. We were meant to do two here, but we shut it on. I actually had a timer for each time. We were meant to speak for like 5 minutes each. And I'm fucking, that went out the window, but hey.
At least we're all having fun.
We're all having fun.
Sure, 2020, anything can go wrong.
Anything can go wrong. Look, we will see you next week for the second part of round one. And then after that, we're going to have the quarters, and then we're going to have the semis. We're going to be very excited on Sexy Beast. I love you, Jacob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
you got that sexy beast. You're just so sexy. Are you a Loch Ness monster? Or are you Bigfoot, cryptid, supernatural vampires, banshees, Tony and Jago? Oops, there's a Wendigo. Hey, 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 come on after me. Who the fuck said you could laugh at me, smack with me? With a Bigfoot dick you could slap with me? Blasphemy. You could dare come at me with a Bigfoot dick and a Loch Ness monster, pussy. Baby, sexy beast.
This has been a Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Mine.
ASMR.
Stop it with your eyes. Stop doing that with your eyes.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.